So the team grant has just started.
The team grant has just started, and so we just received $5 million in 5 years to accomplish a major event, which means that we're trying to figure out in this very complex disease such as Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, what causes the disease. And you cannot do that alone. People now think it's we have decades of research now pointing out that it's a combination of genetics, environmental factors, and probably your bacteria in your gut and immune defects. And since that's so complex, you need several bright scientists to put this all together. We also need several motivated patients to come forward and give us the samples that we need in order to do that kind of research.
Well, the people you're looking for to participate, do they have to have Crohn's disease?
Well, in this particular study, for the IBD Consortium grant, they need to have Crohn's disease or they need to have ulcerative colitis. But we're also looking for people, and that is funded by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of Canada, where we're looking at the healthy relatives. So people ask me several times, because I'm treating IBD patients, so I see this on a daily basis. And people ask me all the time, like, okay, I have a healthy son, but is he at risk for developing disease because I have Crohn's disease? And we need to understand how the healthy son is different from the patient.
Do you have any indication at this point why someone would get it or would not?
Actually, at this point, to be honest with you, no. There are studies with monozygotic twins, that mean identical twins, where we actually see that some people have, I mean, particularly the ones that say they have the same genes, but one that gets the disease and the other one doesn't. See, that's, for instance, a very important tool right there. You can compare what's different in their environment, what's different in their genetic, well, not the genetic makeup, that's the same, but what's different in their diet and what the bacteria in their gut. Because what we do know that particularly Crohn's disease and likely also ulcerative colitis, that is inappropriate handling of bacteria. So if you have bacteria that live in your gut and there are billions of organisms that are 10 times more cells in your body than your own cells, and for some reason, if you and I go and get a GI infection, you clear it and you don't get a chronic inflammation. Now, these people have Crohn's disease. It could be the beginning of a lot of misery, and they keep on having a chronic inflammation. So in other words, their handling of bacteria is different than you and I.
Now, Alberta is supposed to be a hotspot for Crohn's disease. Why is that?
You know, that's an incredibly important question, and it can only be answered by a team grant like such as this. For instance, we also have, not only do we have a very hot spot here in Alberta, but we also within Alberta, we have so-called hot and cold areas. So if you get people from the so-called cold areas where we don't see much of Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, and compare those with the hot spots, you can actually find some really important information. What's the difference? Is there pollution in drinking water that could cause these things? We know that in Fort McMurray there's a high prevalence of the disease. Why is that? Air pollution even comes into mind. And so there have to be environmental factors that are responsible. And more importantly, the diet. I mean, people eat a very different diet now than they eat like 50 or 100 years ago. So we call it the McDonald's factor, where we get smarter. They say, well, avoid fast food and eat a healthy diet.
Where are some of the cold spots?
The cold spots, actually, importantly, are in the, sometimes in the big cities, and particularly where people, where First Nations people live. So for some reason, First Nations people do not get the disease as much as the Caucasian, the people like from European descent have more Crohn's disease. And also we know that Jewish people have a higher incidence of these diseases. But it's interesting that got to be genetic factors are involved, but likely also people do eat differently. And if you come up further up north in Alberta, you'll see less and less of these diseases versus the southern part where we have the big cities. And not talking about the cold spot in the city, but I'm talking about like Grand Prairie and Fort McMurray, but also in Calgary.
For people who would be interested in participating, how do they contact you?
Well, the best way is to contact us directly. Well, actually, through their physician, they can do that. They can also contact their office if they want to participate. The way we currently do it is that if patients come to their physician and they get a colonoscopy done, we can actually manage in such a way that we can get the colon biopsies and the blood and the urine samples from them. But of course, the best way is to do it here at the University of Alberta, because we know how we're going to handle all the samples.
How many do you need?
As many as we can get. I mean, we haven't really set a target, but we have hoped for the first year for a few hundred people from Calgary and Edmonton to come together and get it. Basically, you have funding for an X amount of people, so we don't want to open up all the floodgates all at once, but we, over the next 5 years, we hope to get several hundred people to participate. And those are people that have the disease, and also we need to, people that are healthy, that have the same sex and age, to compare. And sometimes we get these people through, ask them to participate when they come to see a GI specialist.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.